You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast, episode 327. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by my two bandmates, Alex and Jesse. How's it going?
Oh, yeah, baby.
We learned we're Jesse.
Yeah, we're bandmates?
We're jamming, yeah.
Yeah, we're jamming. We're playing. We're soloing.
Who are each of us?
You're the lead singer, as we just learned before we hit record.
That's true. That's a fact. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say. I think Alex is lead guitar.
Okay.
That fits.
And Mathis, I think you're the drummer because you keep us on beat.
Wow, look at
you're
that.
You're the I one like who, he's always without about, you, we'd fall apart.
That's, he's the guy who's incorrect. Most conscious of how 3 hours long the show is at all times, I would say.
And then a guest is the bassist.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can bring in a guest bassist. Because
they
no
add
problem.
A little funk every time they come on.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. That's beautiful. That's our Chilluminati theory of music. If you like the Chilluminati theory of music, go ahead and support us over at patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
It's more like a musical hypothesis.
Yeah, all kinds of ideas are going on over there at the Patreon, including our theory of music. But, you know, for the low fee of $15 a month, you can get a mini-sode literally every single week, in addition to a bunch of other stuff. We just watched Age of Disclosure, and we've got a couple other things on the schedule coming up really soon that we're going to be watching and playing and looking at that aren't movies. So come over there, sign up for Patreon. There's never been a better time. It's one easy fee, and you get all the same stuff, and it keeps us able to pursue important things like our theory of music, which we're having a symposium with Terrence Howard on this whole thing pretty soon, and he's got some big ideas about square roots, so we're excited to see him. And what? Just subscribe to our Patreon. Anyway, it's December and the few weeks of cheesy, sentimental holiday fun times we try to have here on the show before Cornerfest 26 takes us into the new year with another huge burst of internet-fueled insanity. So today, I just have, before we get started, it's the listener story episode of winter. That's all. That's what we have for you today. So I just have one little letter to read to get us started. Just as a ceremonial kind of thing, just sort of
like a chaos magician ceremony,
going through the motions kind of thing.
Should I take my pants off and start?
No, nothing like that.
What?
I did. I did look through. I did look through the listener stories today and get reminded of the Redditor who suggested that she put a sigil on her tits and then post it online so that people could tribute it. I forgot about
they
that.
They should
post.
Do it to the Chilluminati podcast. And I'd be down.
You know what I'm going
to
say? I'm going to say, no, sis.
No, go for it, girl.
Yeah. No, no, sis.
You
know what?
You guys together sound like the comment sections on that post. But that's that. I just got reminded of that today. Yeah, I just have one letter to read to get us started. It comes standard in the package with every Chilluminati style advent calendar. As you know, it's holidays, but and you know, a lot of different belief systems have a calendar. And traditional Chilluminati advent calendars work differently than the religious ones. Everybody, first of all, difference between an advent calendar for Christmas or whatever and Chilluminati advent calendars, that every single person's Chilluminati advent calendar is made specifically for them. So
I thought you were gonna say is made by the person who has one.
No, it's made specifically for each person that gets one. And rather than it being kind of like a countdown to presents, which most advent calendars kind of are, right? For most kids, you get a chocolate every day to count down.
Did you
to
do your advent calendar? I never did that as a kid. So
I did. But we are aware of them. And I think they're bigger in
Alex
other
is
other,
from like
other
the 1960s spiritually. So
yeah.
So it makes sense that he did.
The Chilluminati one is more like a tarot type thing for the next year. It's less of a like countdown. But it is an advent calendar because it is winter and I did need to theme this episode after Christmas.
So it's not like at all like that thing.
It's a lot like an advent calendar.
But also, it's like tarot, but not.
You open doors.
It's not counting down.
You open the doors. You open the doors. It's just like an advent calendar.
It's like a hallway more.
It's just a wall with 24 doors on it.
Dude, every time you open a door, it's Santel on the other side reading your tarot cards.
That's in a week. You'll see that exact thing probably.
That's the scariest thing you could have said.
Santel Claus is coming.
He's coming to our town.
But this advent calendar that we have here that we're going to go through today was prepared especially for the show by the most chill. And the letter is just the standard one that's packed in that comes with a calendar every time ever since 1950. But I'll read it anyway to get us started just because I think it's nice. And even though a lot of you Chilluminats out there have heard it already, if you get your holiday gift packs, you know, the listeners probably haven't heard it. So here we go. To all of us. To all of us. Sorry, I got to get the tone of this right.
Sure.
First time reading it. To all of us. You know, 10 years ago when I lost my home in the Blitz and I was staying temporarily at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel with no work to speak of ahead besides a small part in Agent Hitchcock's foreign correspondent, I scarcely could have imagined that within a decade I'd become Kris Kringle to a generation of children in cinemas all over the world. Naturally, this has brought me quite a bit of positive attention from within the organization, and I'm very lucky to have occupied so much space in people's minds for so long in that manner. However, I only bring it up now because originally it was my cousin Cecil who was offered the part, and if he hadn't turned it down for reasons unrelated to Christmas holidays or anything else besides his own discerning taste as an actor, and even then further, if he hadn't taken the slightly unprofessional step of suggesting a close family member for the role in his stead, it would never have even happened in the first place. No trips to New York, no Academy Awards, and most importantly, and possibly most empirically, the film that would have been released wouldn't have been the exact same film as the one that was. And so history and our very universe would not have changed in exactly the way it would have to bring us to this moment where I'm here writing this letter and you're out there reading it unless Cecil turned down the part. The very odds of it all happening are staggering. So rather than worry about what religion you are or what's real or what's not, this Christmas season, let's try to better honor the random confluence of events which has created for us the very world we needed to experience this glorious holy now, which is more real and all-encompassing than any god or deity and is open to anyone at all by opening all these mysterious doors before us in whichever bloody order we wish. Christmas isn't just a day. It's a frame of mind. Agent E. Gwynn. Seems like a pretty cool guy.
I feel like I just got lectured at by Lou Elizondo.
No, it was a Christmas affirmation.
Said a whole lot
for Chilluminati Christmas.
But a whole lot different at the same time.
What that made me think of was the fact I learned just today that Matt Berry was supposed to play Steve instead of what's his face? Jack Black in the Minecraft movie. But because of the SAG after strike, Matt Berry couldn't do it. So Jack Black, who was originally supposed to be a pig, they made the main character.
So there you go.
Phenomenal. All
the confluence of events. We wouldn't have had Chicken Jackie without that.
Yeah. So that's
would have had something like Chicken Jackie.
That's what Christmas, that's what Chilumati Christmas is all about, which is it's not really about religion. It's just about honoring the randomness that brings us all everywhere. So we're going to go in order as we open the doors of every single door of the advent calendar is opening today, by the way, all 24.
Oh, wow. We're just hurling them all open.
Yeah. So
that's what you did anyway. Let's not pretend.
Yeah. So we're going to go Jesse,
I guess,
Mathis, Alex in that order.
Okay.
And then, I have it here. So I'll open it off camera for you guys. And then if there's anything that you guys need to read by any chance, which, you know, happens a lot.
It happens
a lot on this show. So you never
know. Welcome back to the JMAs.
Thank you to today's sponsor, Cash App. And I've been using Cash App for a while now. And honestly, it's kind of been a game changer for my managing of my money. One of my favorite features is the ability to personalize my Cash App card. It's so much more fun than a boring debit card. And trust me, what I need in my life is way more fun. Like so much more. I read about serial killers and stuff for a living. I need more fun. And if I could add the perfect discount to my Cash App card, it would definitely be my favorite coffee shop, which is any. Cash App just released a new status program for the way people actually spend called Cash App Green. It unlocks new ways for you to pay, get rewarded, and easily grow and manage your money on your terms. Now, when you spend at least $500 a month with the Cash App card or Cash App Pay, you earn green status, which unlocks benefits like up to $200 of free overdraft coverage, higher borrow limits, and custom personalized cash back offers every Friday at places that you love to shop. Turn everyday spending into status with Cash App Green. Download Cash App today or visit cash.app/new to learn more about this and other great features launching now. For a limited time, new Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use code CASHAP10 in their profile at sign up and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards are issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Cash App Green, overdraft coverage, borrow, cashback offers, and promotions are provided by Cash App, a Block, Inc. brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures. So what are you waiting for? Download Cash App today and start turning your everyday spending into rewards.
So yeah, so it's Jesse first. We got 24 different advent calendar doors to open. Which one do you want to open?
Oh, 18.
18, great. Okay. This is perfect. This is actually not a joke. 18 is a listener story for Jesse to read from Dark Emperor 95. There you go.
All right. Dark Emperor 95.
That's amazing. What a great first pick.
Hello, everyone. Been listening to the podcast for a few years now after a friend introduced me to it, and now trying to catch up with some episodes I missed. After hearing about sleep paralysis in one of your episodes, I finally decided to share my horrifying experience having sleep paralysis as a 12-year-old. You have my permission to share this in the podcast if you so desire. To start things off, I am more of an Alex than a Jesse, where I can accept stuff, but I don't necessarily believe in it right away.
That's a rare a rare listener who considers himself an Alex rather than a Jesse. Most, I feel like, consider themselves a Jesse when they begin any story.
I think nobody considers themselves an Alex usually because it's hard to define exactly what I represent to this show.
That's the realest shit I've ever heard. It's so hard to define. Who is Alex? What is Alex?
What the fuck is that guy doing? Why is he on this show?
I was raised in a religious Greek Christian Orthodox family, with this, which essentially caused me to be more attracted to the occult in a rebellious way against the entire religion that was constantly shoved into my face. This meant that I would read about demons and magic rituals from books I would get from the bookstore or watch videos about it. I mention this because I believe it's a reason for my sleep paralysis demon's appearance. Anyway, on to the story. My room used to be next to my parents' room when I was younger, with my bed being against the wall and facing the center of the room. This meant that my room's door was always to the right of my vision when I would sleep on my back. I would always leave the door open so that the hallway's light outside my room would not keep me in complete darkness. One night after falling asleep, I remember opening my eyes and I see this tall figure standing by my door. It was tall and it was staring directly where I was. I could not see its face, just its dark shape standing on the doorway. I tried to speak, but I realized no words came out. As I tried to ask who it was, it started slowly walking towards my bed. I remember trying to yell out so my parents heard me, but no noise came out of my mouth as this creature was walking towards me. It then got on my bed and sat right on my chest, causing me to feel a pressure on my chest and my breathing to be harder. I then took a glimpse on the creature's face as it leaned down and wrapped its hand around my neck. It was a goat-headed human, just like you would see in pictures of Baphomet or something similar. I tried screaming, and no noise would come out as it started choking me, causing me unable to breathe anymore. I remember waking up screaming, sweat all over my face as my dad rushed in the room to see what was wrong and turning on the lights. Let's just say, after that experience, it took me a few more nights until I could sleep normally again. This experience was horrifying, and even now, picturing it again has my hair standing up. Thank you for reading my story, and stay awesome.
So that's like,
I don't know, super. That could be kind of hot to the right person.
If we're talking
a
about synchronicities,
you say human be hot? Waking you up in the middle of the night and starts choking you just a little bit.
Hot.
Yeah, it could be hot. No.
You know why?
It could be hot to the right person.
You know why Mathis' take was that was hot? It's because it was repeated multiple times. This was a very tall figure.
Exactly.
And tall as in. If you're tall, you got like a little more chance of it happening.
If we're
is what I'm hearing
of,
from Mathis.
If we're speaking of synchronicity, though, right? And we're talking about what this reminds us of. I happen to be reading one of the Penguin collections of H.P. Lovecraft's work right now.
He wrote about
and,
the Penguin?
For no reason. But like, look at the cover of this. You can see this on the, if you're the webcam people. But it's that famous painting of the nightmare that's like on the person's chest.
Oh, yeah.
This painting, I forget who it's by, but it's like, you know, one of those classical paintings. But it's supposed to represent like the very concept of a nightmare, which is that it's like something that sits on you and gives you horrible nightmares while you sleep and like get something out of it. Right.
There's a weird, like, this is a very good chicken egg example, because this goes back to, there are a lot of early sort of Renaissance and medieval art and things like that, classical art of what Alex is talking about. Mm-hmm. But the thing is it the experience influence the art, or did the art influence the experiences?
Yeah,
and I simply don't know, but I know it's all connected, because it's that kind of thing where it's your dream, it's your mind.
Ancient. It feels like a thing humans have been feeling exactly for thousands of years.
Yeah,
right?
It's like you're in the dream. It's happening to you, and it's your mind causing it. And it's like, all right, well, how did your mind think this thing up? I think is the fascinating. Like, that's where the science should be focused, because that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
Pretty neat. All right, Mathis, your turn.
All right, I'm going to be a cliche and go with door number one.
Door number one.
From the very start.
Okay, door number one. Here we go. Let's see. Here you go, Mathis. This is what it says.
On the first day of Christmas, On the first day of Christmas, the Chiluminati gave to me an ancient order for all the world to see.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's
okay.
Good.
So I guess it's my turn now. I'm going to pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I have to show the world an ancient order.
I don't know. That's really weird. I'm going to pick number six. Number six is a quote, I guess. It says, humanity could be clutching the frail bark of an outmoded worldview while the wind of the mind is swaying the stars into very real craft. And out of them is coming a faint call for help from a lady in a flowered dress. That's from Whitley Strieber? Strieber from a book called Communion? Never heard of that one. Don't know about that one.
What is it? This one right here?
Oh, weird. Mathis has the book.
Strange.
That's so strange.
How weird.
Okay, well, that's number six. Jesse, what number do you want to pick?
Two. I need to know what two is.
Okay, here's two.
Well, I don't answer that question ever. I can just tell you that the number two guy in the CAA said, in answer to a reporter asking the question, that I must have been standing too close to gong, to the gong, when I say things like that. Chuck Barris. I don't know what that means.
Chuck Barris. Well, if I'm not wrong, I think Chuck Barris is the host of the Gong Show. So that must have something to do with that. That's really weird. Mathis, what number?
I don't know. We started with the reader story, and now I don't know what this is. It was lucky that you chose a reader story.
Yeah. What about you, Mathis?
Doors. All right. Let's go to the end. Let's do 24. The last door.
24. Oh, okay. 24 is actually a listener story for me to read. From Gristle Grant.
How did I open a door that gives you something to do?
I don't know. It's just what it says.
Who lets you structure these episodes without any oversight whatsoever?
The Chilluminati. I'm not even doing it. What are we paying
our bog witch to do if she's not helping you be organized?
You chose this. This is random. You picked it. All right. Feel free to read on the show and use on the show as you will. This one is called My Haunted Apartment Complex. Me and my wife's apartment complex is a little unique. In the middle of our apartment complex sits a graveyard. Buried in the graveyard are the founders of a small town in Texas. It seems very weird, but when we first saw it, we did not think much of it. But as we lived there, we noticed various creepy things happening. The experiences were subtle at first. The odd knock or creak, normal house sounds. Once something fell out of a chair, so nothing was too worrisome and it was fine for a bit. Then other weird things started happening. One day, the sound of heavy furniture scraping across the floor and people running around with heavy thumping footfalls. But most of this post, I will give you a couple highlights of the activity we have experienced. One night, I was outside walking the dog in our little grassy area outside our apartment. I was facing the apartment, standing on the sidewalk, and I heard heavy footsteps coming down the sidewalk. Walked into the grass to get out of the way as I was paying attention to the dog, and I heard the steps walk right behind me and onward to the right of me. I looked around to see who it was, and no one was there. I know there was someone there, as my dog had stopped sniffing around and looked towards the sound as well. A couple of months later, I was in the kitchen of our apartment, standing at the stove, and I felt someone run their hand down my upper arm and tug on the bottom of my short sleeve. I looked around behind me, and of course no one was there, so I investigated the living room and asked my wife if she was messing with me or something. She said no, and that she was sitting on the couch with her feet up watching TV. This was not the only time I had a physical sensation, though. Again, I was outside with the dog, and I kept feeling someone pull at the bottom hem of my shirt like a small child would, trying to get your attention. At first, I thought it was the dog, but she is well-trained and does not pull at clothing or anything like that. But again, the dog and I could sense something was there. The final occurrence I will talk about is, me and my wife are coming back from the laundry room at about 10:30 p.m. Remember, there is a graveyard in the center of my apartment complex. And on the other side of the graveyard is a playground and a couple picnic tables. Out of nowhere, we hear what sounds like children screaming and laughing. Also, the sound of playground equipment squeaking at the playground on the other side of the graveyard from us. My wife asks, "That's weird. It's like 10:30. Do you see any kids over there?" I looked over at the playground and I saw no kids over there playing. I told my wife, "Nope. There is, in fact, no one over there." We quickly walk back to the apartment after that. So that is the story of my haunted apartment complex. I do not really have a good sense of who or what is in my apartment complex, but there is something, and it does not seem malevolent or anything, just a bit curious. I like that one because it's like almost like a, like, I don't know, like Tim Burton setting is like, I'm just picturing a quad of an apartment, and in it is like an old-timey Old West cemetery for some reason. I don't know why that's what I'm imagining. It's clearly not what exactly is going on here. I find it charming.
Go bully them until they do something. Just go into the playground and start telling them they're a bunch of dorks.
Don't do that. Like, but if you were a ghost, start though,
pretend shoving them off you be of like the swing.
Especially a Texas ghost. No, you'd be like,
they start pulling their ghost six shooters.
Hey, but if you're a Texas toast, get your ass over here because I'm about to eat you.
Delicious.
It's a Texas toast with a Texas ghost?
Texas toast with a Texas ghost? All right. I guess I'm going to pick...
Shaggy.
I'm going to pick number 10, which... Oh, gosh. Look, it's a story for Mathis to read from
Whiplash. How random of you for you to choose that.
It was. I don't know what's behind any doors. I'm just holding.
You could have cheated. They could have sent you this calendar early, and you could have peeked behind all the doors.
No, it's perforated, so I would have to rip the cardboard.
Got you.
So this is from Whiplash Rookie.
I never post on Reddit, but when this happened, I knew I had to let you all know about it. You can definitely use the story on the podcast anytime you want. This happened on the night of September 12th, 2025. I live near the college town of Johnson City, Tennessee. Our biggest claim to fame is being mentioned in the lyrics of the song Wagon Wheel. I don't know that song. Alex, do you?
I do, but I don't know the words.
Okay. I deliver for DoorDash in the evenings after I get off work from my day job just for the extra cash. Like I said, it's a college town, so most of the time I'm delivering to drunk college kids, and surprisingly, they tip pretty well. After I got done delivering, I drove home and pulled into my driveway around 9:30 p.m. It was a super clear night, no clouds at all. The only light was coming from the moon and stars. As I was walking to my door, I looked up and saw two lights, one flashing green and one behind it flashing white. They were both moving east. The flashing green light in front of the flashing white light trailing behind, but moving closer to the green one. They weren't blinking in unison, but they would sometimes match up with each other, like one was flashing just a few milliseconds quicker to the other. I mean, that happens a lot with my car blinker. You know,
you're like listening to the drums of the music and it like sinks on for a minute.
They were far enough away from each other that I didn't think much about it at first, thinking they were most likely airplanes. My house is about 10 minutes from the Tri-Cities airport and about an hour from a military training base. So aircraft at all hours of the day or night is not unusual. But these lights were moving way too quick to be airplanes, and there was no sound at all, and so I kept watching. I thought they could be satellites of some kind. I've seen the International Space Station pass above my house on clear nights before, and have also seen a lot of Starlink satellites in the past few years. But again, these two lights were moving way too quick for that as well, and they didn't seem to be as high up as satellites would be. I watched for about 20 seconds and realized if they kept moving at this pace, the white flashing light would either collide with the green one or go above or slash below it. At this point, I figured it was planes refueling, like how they have to get on top of each other or some kind of military training. But as I was thinking that, the lights did collide. And for about 2 seconds, they created an orange light that grew in size to about twice the size of either of the first two lights and then immediately sped off in the same eastern direction the lights had been going in, but at an incredible speed and then disappeared over the mountains in the distance. For a minute, I thought I had witnessed some kind of celestial event, like two rogue planets somehow going supernova with each other, but then I regained my common sense. I have no idea what I saw, and I can't think of any rational explanation unless I witnessed some kind of military aircraft that's not known to the public. Anyway, I thought you'd all enjoy this story. I have other stories as well regarding the paranormal, including ghosts my dad witnessed in the 70s and 80s, and some experience I had with a friend who spent some time as a professional ghost hunter. If you'd like to hear some of those, just let me know and write them down. Love the show, guys. Keep being awesome. I love to hear those.
I love the ones that have a trailer at the end. It's like we've read a lot of listener stories now, and every once in a while it's like, if you like this one, I got four other ones, and here's a little hint about what they're about. I love that.
Yeah.
This was great. I love the end of this story. It felt like when you trade Pokemon and they like turn into they evolve into like two separate Pokemon.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
For a minute there, I was genuinely like, "Well, you know, it sounded like drones, but it's not until they like come together and turn into like an orange light and take off that made it a little bit weirder." Because I'm trying to like, I can't think. Not to say there isn't anything, because there very well may be, but like, I don't know what we have that could potentially do that. Maybe like drones coming together. Like in the other part too is talking
light
about
combining is like pretty.
But I mean, like it also there's the so many part. Things it could also be. Like even the Earth moving. Mm-hmm. Like are your positioning to other things. The big takeaway I have is the idea that now that more and more people are looking to the stars, we're getting more and more things like this where people have been like, well, that's weird. That's what happens when you look up. So I'm here for it.
And I would have loved to know how fast it is, because you could be surprised how fast satellites can fucking tear through the sky, especially low orbiting satellites, which tend to be bright and orange when they
that's
are.
True.
But I, you know, it's interesting because not to say, I don't know if this is going to be anything, but Alex Kelly like texted me a story of an orange light she saw in the sky the other day.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have anything prepared. But yeah, she definitely saw it.
Shout out to Kelly. Thank you for sharing.
People are looking up, man. It's starting to happen, man. I feel like more and more people are seeing stuff. that are, and what I mean by that is not like there's more reports. It's like more people that I would never expect to tell me about aliens. Might just be because I'm on like a popular alien
people podcast. Now feel comfortable talking to you because about it, maybe because of it. But I know that for sure. Yeah,
but I think it's because, I think it's just because it's just in the zeitgeist a little more. I think people are more willing to go there now. I don't know why, but I do feel that.
I do think the drone situation from over a year ago was the shock of that got a lot of people to start looking up initially. Like the drones just hovering over everywhere.
They just closed the airport in Amsterdam like not that long ago, like the other day.
It's been happening all fucking fall across Europe.
Yeah, it's crazy.
As well.
All right, so who was that? I picked that last one, so then it's to Jesse now.
Thank you so much to ZocDoc for sponsoring today's episode. And have you still forgotten about that doctor's appointment? You know, the one you're supposed to do a while ago. I've told you every time now, Zachariah. I'm getting annoyed, all right, man? Listen, dentist appointment for a biannual cleaning, overdue annual checkup that's been 3 years in the making, dermatologist appointment for that rash you've been looking like a little off and ignoring. Why not just make it all easy and book it today? ZocDoc makes it easy to find the right doctor right now, and it's all online. You'll probably be able to book an appointment before the end of this ad. And I don't know about you guys, but, you know, my entire social feed is filled with all kinds of just, like, health trends and shit. Why bother looking at that stuff? Leave it to a professional, man. I say we give the algorithm just a little rest because we need to stop feeding it our information. And you can turn to IRL healthcare professionals who can help you meet your health goals. And with ZocDoc, like I said, it's just easy. You can find doctors that are right for you and instantly book an appointment. And I'm just getting older, you know what I mean? I need to be going to the doctor more myself anyway, and it can be tough to get to the doctor. But I want to keep myself healthy, and the system makes it impossible to find the right doc for my needs until I found ZocDoc, and they make it so easy to find the right fit and book an appointment fast directly on their website. If you haven't figured it out by now, you should probably at least try out ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can book in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty from mental health, dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. You can even filter for doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, are a good fit for any medical need you may have, and are highly rated by verified patients. I've been using ZocDoc well before we started working with them, and I always, you know, urge you guys to check it out. It makes life so much easier, especially if you have phone anxiety, you know, like me. So stop putting off those doctor appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/chill to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/chill, ZocDoc.com/chill. Thank you again to ZocDoc for sponsoring today's episode.
Now that I'm in the deep end, three.
Okay, great. So this is going to be a listener dream for Jesse to read. You have picked both of your, like, reading
I got,
ones.
You know, I have like a 12th sense, dude.
So this is from fanfic throwaway 6666.
Perfect. Okay, I'm going to preface this with the obligatory, this dream completely fucked me up and I'm at a loss for what to make of it. That being said, I murdered someone in my dream.
Okay, which pause. Have you boys ever murdered anybody in your dreams?
Yes.
I have been murdered many times.
Yeah, I've killed somebody like, and then just continued moving. Like, I've never like just like committed like a premeditated murder in my dreams.
Right, like, it wasn't a whole 3 hour scenario of stalking. Yes, them.
I have like cut somebody in half with a sword in my dreams and stuff like that.
Ooh, yeah. When I was younger, I harpoon gunned a friend from high school. Who was being a particular dick during that time in my life. So I don't know why that's very crazy, but that's what the dream was. So
that's how Clift Booth took out his wife in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That's also how John Travolta dies in Face Off.
The only time,
which probably is exactly where it came from.
The only time I have a memory of, I'm sure I have, but the one that sticks with me that I killed somebody in is the only dream I ever became semi-lucid in. I was in like my late teens and I was dreaming I was drowning a baby in the bathtub.
I knew I was dreaming
and I was trying to stop myself from doing it and I like couldn't, and I also couldn't wake myself up, and then eventually I woke up. It was very weird.
That's like a Lovecraft dream. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, the baby had my face.
The baby had the face of democracy. It had the face of George Washington. I don't know what
it was. Uncle Sam, but a baby. Yeah. And I smothered him.
His blood was on my hands. What could this mean?
All right, continue.
Which is extremely disturbing since I'm a pacifist Buddhist that refuses to kill anything. Anyway, let's go to the start of the dream. So I, MB27, started this entire thing off with the dismembering part. What?
Oh, so the person's already dead and the dream's starting off with you dismembering them?
Like the part you're where well you're, the you're, killer, like, you're like, dreaming that you're here. A murderer. You're dreaming that you are in a true crime podcast episode already.
This is the first bit of the dream I remember is having a bunch of body parts and toss them into trash cans. I don't actually remember the murder, nor do I know who this person was or did. Just that they were in many pieces and I had to get rid of it. After disposing of everything, I go hang out with a friend of mine and confess to them that I just killed someone. Their response, I still remember because it confused me even in the dream. Yeah, that's a very cat-like thing to do.
Cats are cruel, man.
That's a dream line.
They play with their food.
Yeah. What? No time to think about that because I have a call. This guy on the other end of the line is a detective. Don't ask me how I know that. Dreamy was sweating hearing his voice. He says they found something, and I immediately responded with, a body? No, the guy didn't say what they found. My guilty ass just jumped straight to that conclusion. Oh, you got caught. You're like he was one the of the neighbor guys in on that one clip. Law and Order. You got caught.
The
guy on
the news. The kid, like the kid, when they tell him they found the body, and he goes,
yeah.
And he's like, what?
I gotta go.
You're like, I gotta go. Yeah, you're like, not guilty at all.
There was a long pause before he said yes. For some reason, I had to investigate it, but I already knew this guy was suspicious of me. Luckily, it was not the body I dumped, but another completely intact one of a woman. Whew. That was nude, which was odd. We started skulking around the taped off scene, me and my friend. The dead girl didn't have any wounds, but was super pale. I couldn't find any way she could have died, and we're starting to get frustrated when she sat up. Turns out she wasn't dead, just passed out. She walked off quickly after coming to.
Jeez.
After this, everything gets super trippy. Oh, well, now it does. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you mean now it gets trippy?
We are ushered into a room, me and now two other people. One being my friend, another being a dude I never met before in my life. There are about a few hundred doors lined up, not against walls, just some kind of like advent calendar thing that Alex made. It was so, so weird.
Alex is just the reader. He's just the messenger.
Yeah, he was there. The third guy was Alex for some reason.
My Tulpic overlords control this whole thing.
Tulpamancer.
I'm not the Mancer. I'm the Mancee.
Not against walls, just standing all straight alone, leading to nothing. They tell us to go look and see what we find. My friend goes first. They enter a door and never come back, just vanished. I didn't want to see what was inside. The other dude was next. He runs around to many doors, getting more and more distressed as he goes. I just sit on the floor and watch this guy run himself ragged, screaming as he opens some of them. But I still can't see what's inside. Eventually, he ends up on the ground, muttering something, but I don't remember what it was. He was holding his head, kneeling down between his knees and just losing it. I get up and go check a door, and it leads to nowhere. I just see the door behind it. I even step through it and nothing. So I go back to sit on the floor while this dude's just sobbing beside me. Eventually, I notice my phone was on the ground next to me. The screen lights up. It was another call. I answer, and it's the same detective guy on the other side. I know what you did. Then I wake up. Not a damn clue what any of this meant, but it made me super anxious and felt like a real fucked up horror movie. Even though during most of it, I wasn't actually upset or scared unless the detective was involved. I would love to know if anyone has any input on this, because honestly, I don't have a damn clue what to make of it. Besides, maybe I'm stressed. I'm back in college and I'm majoring in computer sciences and going all right, but I've been struggling with some assignments. Any ideas? I mean, in general, I would love to know what was going on in your life at this time, but I feel like a lot of that was kind of like feeling anxious. That's kind of what you should be feeling after a dream like that, because it feels the doors have that, like, you know, the overwhelming choice and not knowing if it leads anywhere and it not at all and you'd be like giving up, but watching other people try and fail repeatedly and watching them kind of break down and you being like, you know, I'd rather not. Like, that is that vibe. And the whole like, I hit a body and someone's like, oh, I know what you did. That's very like, you know, you got a lot in your mind and you probably need to talk to someone about that. Kind of, you know what I mean? Like, not, this isn't like a therapy thing, but like, you're probably, you know, stressed about stuff and you should have a friend who's like, hey man, you want to get a drink sometime? Like, that's the vibe, but I don't know.
I feel like also like if you're 27, you're in college, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a pacifist. I feel like you have probably some kind of complex thoughts about violence and I think even people who choose to center violence in their lives as something that they don't do, because I'll tell you this, I don't think about whether or not I'm a violent person almost ever, right? So maybe there's something to that. Like maybe the reason that death and murder and killing is coming up here is because it's just something that is central to your life. Like maybe it's the same way how I think about, you know, I don't know. I turn
synchronicities.
I don't know. Like just like maybe you should not take so much stock in the imagery of death, other than that it is something that you think about a lot. And maybe maybe it has to do with guilt, or maybe it has to do with suspicion, and maybe it has to do with holding on to secrets, or even just in yourself. Like, for example, and this is not real, but like I've, for example, been in school because I wanted to impress someone. You know what I mean? Like I've done things that I didn't want to do. That still counts as a secret. You know what I mean? Like if you don't really want to be there or something like that, and it's because of a choice that you made, you know,
sure.
I feel like the death could be just, you know, and the
secretly
fact that
they want to be very violent.
I just mean like they want to transgress. You know what I mean? Like maybe death is just important to them. And then saying that's a very cat-like thing to do, it's interesting because it's like kind of like almost like saying something like the circle of life or nature. Of course, I'm interpreting this as if it was a book. So I don't know.
I'm interested in the fact that you state, our dear writer, that you start with a bunch of body parts and toss them into trash cans.
Something's already happened.
And then you say, oh, I killed someone. I don't necessarily know that you did. You start with body parts and you're throwing the body parts away, which is a whole other, like you can interpret that completely differently. And then the idea of you saying to someone, oh, I killed someone, your friend, maybe even you recognizing like, no, you didn't. It's like, could be a fun, like, oh, it's such a cat
and
thing
the
to
girl
do.
Is claim got
you
up killed anyway,
something
right?
And you did it because you're just like, yeah, I'm a cat.
Another like, dead person
there's
got up and left.
All sorts of ways of reading it.
Yeah, I'm a cat.
Yeah. The second girl was just passed out too, which is like kind of interesting.
Yeah. So maybe you didn't kill anyone because the second girl wasn't dead.
I think the murder itself isn't so much the center as the imagery of hiding and dead bodies.
Body parts.
Where the bodies are buried. So
who knows?
Yeah, there you go. Hopefully that's some insight that you didn't have before into it, right? That's good.
Yeah. At least somebody's insight for sure. Yeah.
All right. So that was Jesse's pick, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Mathis.
Okay. All right, Jesse, you're going to take it from the front. You're going to go from like 2, 3, 4 on, like from there and move?
I am, yes.
I will Eiffel Tower this advent calendar with you. And I will do number 23 since I did 24 last.
Number 23, Jim Carrey, great movie. Just kidding. Not that great. But kind of neat. Kind of interesting. Here you go. That's what it says, Mathis. Okay.
On the 12th day of Christmas, the Chiluminati gave to me 12 tulpas forming.
Interesting. And then I guess I'll pick.
Be the center of our Eiffel Tower.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm going to pick number like 13, right? That's split the diff, right? On the 7th day of Christmas, the Chiluminati gave to me 7 swords a swinging. Interesting.
I love it.
Interesting. Okay. Jesse?
Number 4, please.
Number 4. Oh. Interesting. Here's something that it says.
On the 2nd day of Christmas, the Chiluminati gave to me 2 different truths.
Okay. So that's four.
Two different truths. That's not good.
No, nah, I don't like that.
Oh,
22.
22. I hope somebody puts this all together. This could be pretty interesting.
On the 11th day of Christmas, the Chiluminati gave to me 11 liars lying. Was that where the two different truths come from, the 11 liars?
I don't know. Maybe. You're going to have to put it together for yourself. I'll go outwards, right? So I did 13. I'm going to do 12 next, right?
All right.
So number 12 is going to be, oh, I guess it's a quote. Okay, this one says, it took several years for us to accept that the Star Girls really were aliens, even though the first time I laid eyes on them for that microsecond, I felt that they were alien. But the best indication is that everything is fine. I just feel all right. It was many years before I realized that my secretary was a Nordic alien. And that's a quote from Bill Tompkins from his book Selected by Extraterrestrials.
That is someone's erotic fetish fiction.
Oh, boy.
My secretary is a Nordic alien, dude.
You might have.
There's got to be that on Amazon right now.
That has to be an Amazon.
You might have nailed that.
The three-titted alien just
somewhere
right
on
there.
Book talk. That is happening right now.
Okay, Jesse, what'll it be?
The five.
Five, right. Okay.
On the third day of Christmas, the Chiluminati gave to me three weird heirs. Okay, sure.
Three French hens is what it is. So it'd just be like three weird heirs, right?
Right, but we're not doing the full song yet.
That's right. Well, I guess at the end we can put it all together if you want.
Well, we have to.
See, I have to. I'd have to.
Or we leave that to the subreddit.
Yeah, you can just you can do the 12 days of Chiluminati Christmas performance live Christmas Carol if you want at r/Chiluminati Pod on Reddit.
A wonderful
website.
You can.
You don't have to.
No, it's I'm not saying you have to. I'm just, you can. Okay, what'll it be? Mr. Mathis,
21.
Right? What?
21.
21. Oh, look. It's a listener story for Mathis to read from Dragons in My Dungeon.
Dragons in My Dungeon.
Here you go, Mathis.
My sleep paralysis demon predicted my mother's death. Whoa. What a name to the story. All right. Pleasantries and pre-story time details. Hey, readers and Orch Illuminati boys, long-time listener, first-time poster, and this story has been a long time coming. Welcome to this absolute roller coaster of a sleep paralysis story, which, you'll have to take my word for it, is 100% true. This guy has a flair for the entertainment already.
I like the command of prose that they've exhibited.
Yeah. I've always been a hard skeptic, much like Jesse, until this very encounter, which has now put me somewhere between Alex and Mathis.
Once they figure out what an Alex and a Mathis exactly are and the differences between them.
The differences get blurrier by the day. Pre-warning, trigger warning. This story contains a real death of a family member via cancer. You have my permission to read the story on the pod. To start off this story, a bit of background. I've always had an interesting relationship with dreams. I used to practice lucid dreaming and had bouts of reoccurring dreams. But ever since I was around 10 years old, I've had sleep paralysis twice a week consistently. As you can imagine, this really sucks. Doctors don't know what's causing it, and I had no solution other than just dealing with it. To note, though, each time I had sleep paralysis, I would never see the man in the hat, the hag, shadow people, or any of the common sleep paralysis demons people usually see. The feeling of being paralyzed for about 5 to 10 minutes while staring into my empty, dark room has been enough to scare the crap out of me regardless. And that was it for a large majority of my life. I quickly got used to it whenever it happened. Other than the uncomfortable feeling of being stuck, I just thought, oh, crap, this again. Waited until it wore off, woke up, and doom scrolled until I managed to get back to sleep again. Fast forward to 2018 when I was 21, much like any other night, I woke up to the familiar feeling of being paralyzed, staring at my blank white ceiling. But unlike all those other times, I had a deep feeling of existential dread, which wash over me, sending me into a cold sweat. I remember having a certain unshakable feeling of something carving its way into my dreamscape, something that was absolutely not meant to be there. That is extremely cool way of phrasing that. I love that imagery.
Well-written imagery.
Yeah, it just is like, phenomenal. While stuck staring at my ceiling, just praying this moment passes, something starts melding through my ceiling, looking down at me. I remember every detail of this thing. It's burned into my brain with such intensity that I'll probably never forget it. A short young girl in a ragged brown dress, potato sack-like texture face, deep bottomless sunken eyes, large black wings, matted black hair, and a sewn closed mouth. My breath grows shallow. I can hear my heartbeat. Yeah, that shit is horrifying. I can hear my heartbeat racing, and I cannot help but just stare at this thing floating about 12 feet above me. At this point, I remember thinking, well, this is it. This must be death. And just waiting for it to either be over or for this thing to consume my soul or something. After what feels like 5 minutes of staring at it, the stitching across its mouth rips open as its mouth unhinged, followed by a quiet, guttural whisper that says no words, just Roman numerals. That's 26-9. In between each sequence of letters was a slight gap. The letters were XXVI and IX. In between each sequence of letters was a slight gap. XXVI, 1 second gap, then IX, and this was repeated for what felt like 5 minutes. Waking up at that moment was nothing short of surreal. As I regained control of my body, the girl morphed back into the ceiling, and I was left staring at my normal blank ceiling, sweating buckets. I immediately wrote the numerals into my phone's notes and then watched Finding Nemo for the rest of the night so I could calm down. Great choice. Dude, so if you're going to just want you something
Futurama is mine. I always turn on Futurama.
Another good one. Adventure Time is one that often finds its way on my TV.
God, I got to finish those movies on HBO. God.
Yeah. Safe to say I didn't sleep again that night. Now, just to note, at this point, I just wanted to forget about this dream. For months after, I suffered from terrible insomnia from the anxiety of seeing that thing again. But we will return to the numerals. Fast forward again to April 2019. I was 22 years old, and I just received the most devastating news that my mom has stage 4 esophagus cancer. And at this point, there is no treatment. It was either truly a silent killer until too late, or she was really good at hiding symptoms. Either way, things went downhill fast from there. She lost her battle and passed away just 5 months after the diagnosis on September 26th. Yeah, I'm sorry. That sucks. I won't go into it, but that, of course, was a very tough time for me. On the bright side, I did discover the power of pot, and only since smoking that good green has my sleep paralysis dropped.
Kissing the old Grinch.
Yeah, to once every few months. I'm curious if you've had any visits from the Baked Bean Boy.
I've heard he likes to visit people who like legal weed and that he does
legal
it all
weed.
The time.
Yeah, I don't know if it's legal where you are. I think it has something to do with not dreaming when you're high. True. I will say, though, as note, I have been dreaming a lot more these past few months and I have not let up on my weed. So I don't know if there's a tolerance at some point.
Cheese and tomatoes, bro.
Yeah.
Pizza.
Another time skip to February 2020. I was obviously still grieving, but for the most part, I was doing pretty well for myself. I had just gotten out of a rubbish job and secured a new one, and I was hard focused into all the hobbies that brought me joy. Of course, in the UK, March is when the lockdown happened. Mr. Boris said, quote, can someone give me, what does Boris sound like again? I can't remember.
He's a rich British man who looks like a big baby.
Staying inside and going doors. Is that good?
If he was really far away, that sounds like it.
Stay inside and go out. I can't do it.
Yeah, anyway, no.
You know how, like, when Voldemort comes to King's Cross and there's that, like, thing underneath the seat that's him? That's Boris. That's what you saw. That's what you just were of Boris Johnson.
Perfect. I think that's perfect.
I think he's got one of those, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he probably does. Anyway, he said that while he has a party that was England and on shutdown. Yeah, I remember that picture coming out. I was locked in my family's house where my mom had passed with my other grieving family members. But luckily, I was furloughed the entire lockdown from that new job I had just gotten 1 month prior. With that income, I could fund my miniature painting hobby. And of course, while I'm painting, I needed a podcast to listen to. In comes you, lovey boys at Chilluminati.
Oh, that's very sweet.
And there we are. I listened to endless hours from episode 1 to current release and really loved the dream stories. Hearing those listener stories got me inspired to revisit my dream, remembering I never actually looked into those numerals. And if you haven't looked it up yet, XXVI is 26 and IX is 9. I immediately turned pale and stared at those numbers for a while, thinking that's 2609, because that's right, because everywhere else except for, like, dumb America does the dates the other way around, where it's not 0926, it's 2609. The month and day my mom passed. At this point, I was questioning if the girl in rags was the cause of it or trying to warn me. Either way, I was freaked out.
The old Mothman problem.
How? I That's a good take, actually. Mm-hmm. Was this a sleep paralysis demon, some kind of angel or death visiting me to whisper cryptic messages, or maybe it was pure coincidence? Thank you for reading this roller coaster of a story. I hope you enjoyed my suffering, and feel free to ask any questions in the comments. Love that story, first of all. Phenomenal stuff, story. Yeah.
Pretty
so many cool, like, the imagery of the paralysis demon is like, from not having to witness it and only having to read about it, fucking cool imagery.
Yeah,
I imagine
time.
Witnessing it is terrible. If we were to take it, obviously, and just think about, like, the fact that you saw those numbers, and if we were to tie it to the passing of your mother, like you did in the story, I do wonder, too, if maybe one of it's just, like, in your dream state, like, hypnagogic state, you tapped into, like, a collective unconscious, you know, time doesn't exist as we understand it, so maybe somewhere in your mind tapped into something that was coming that it didn't know was coming, and displayed it in a way that was demonic and crazy for some fucking reason. I don't know. I like Jesse's Mothman interpretation.
There's interesting vibes of, you know, like sometimes people talk about how dogs recognize something different. They're like, dogs can detect cancer. Da, da, da. And yeah. It's because they recognize something different in a person that you might not notice. And maybe on like a deep subconscious level, you recognize something different about your mother. And that was your dream coming to terms like something's wrong. I don't know the numbers and whatever, but like it could be that as well. Like maybe you deeply knew something was up, and even because you said like unless she was good at hiding it, like maybe she was. Maybe I don't know. Who knows? Stuff.
I think rather than try and explain it, you should just meditate on the fact that that occurred and try not to worry about too much about the explanation, because from what it seems like, right? Like nobody's going to be able to prove or disprove this happened, right? Because it happened in your brain, basically. But if it did happen and it's real, I think it's worth spending the time thinking about that occurred rather than that something must have happened that let it happen. And I think that if you think about it that way, that maybe eventually it will become clear why that happened in its own time.
Yeah,
because I think sometimes we get lost in trying to explain stuff when really we just got to look at it and see what it means. In that way. I don't know. That's just my take on it. I guess that's what it means to be an Alex, if you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
All right. Is it my turn?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to pick number 9, and I'm going to open that. And that's going to be a quote that says, "Our good God is working of miracles. 5 witches were lately executed, impudently demanding of God a miraculous vindication of their innocency. Immediately upon this, our God miraculously sent in 5 Andover witches who made a most ample, surprising, amazing confession of all their villainies and declared the 5 newly executed to have been of their company." And that was from a letter by Cotton Mather to John Cotton on August 5th, 1692. How strange.
Yeah. How strange. I just realized what you're doing.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
What is your number, Jesse?
I believe we were on 6.
But you already picked 6, so we're going to do 7?
Sure.
Okay. 7. Here you go. Here's what it says.
On the 4th day of Christmas, the Chiluminati gave to me 4 scarlet whores.
That's crazy, dude.
Scarlet whores.
If only there was something that we've been talking about for the last 3 months that would contextualize that for us.
Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, Mathis. Up to you.
We just did 21, right? So that's 20? Right.
20, okay. Here we go. Number 20.
Okay. When I start to think about the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum and the drama and the obsession with getting the paintings back and the whole obsession around everything, I keep talking about it because it's fascinating to me because I was there. I was a witness. That night, I had plans to meet up with friends. It was quiet on Palace Road. The street's very dark, just lit by this really faint amber glow from the streetlights. We were outside the building and I asked my friend Justin, I was like, hey, can you give me a piggyback ride? I jumped on his back and we started walking down the street. Nancy Cloherty.
So it seems like Nancy Cloherty was a witness to the on the night of some sort of crazy heist. I don't know.
Crazy. I wonder what that could
Pretty
be.
Pretty cool. Okay, so I guess it's my turn again. And I'm going to pick, I guess, number 11, which is, okay, let me open it. It says, on the 6th day of Christmas, the Chiluminati gave to me 6 suits a selling. Strange.
Okay.
Okay, it's Jesse's turn.
Let's go number 8.
Number 8. This is the one that you've been waiting for, Jesse.
Nice. On the 5th day of Christmas, the Chiluminati gave to me 5 studio kings.
Interesting.
5 studio kings.
Yeah, I don't know what that
mean. What the hell does that mean? That's so bizarre. All right. Mathis?
19.
19. Here we go.
On the 10th day of Christmas, the Chiluminati gave to me 10 men a hoaxing.
Okay. Okay, we're getting kind of low on...
We've got liars and hoaxers. Arguably the same thing.
Yeah. We don't have that many left. So I'm going to pick number 17, which is... No, actually, we just did number 19, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to do 17. Okay. And that one is, on the 9th day of Christmas, the Chiluminati gave to me 9 psychics weeping.
Oh, no one likes a weeping psychic.
Yeah, what Definitely the hell? Not. We're in Definitely Warhammer not. 40K. Yeah. 9 yeah, psychics weeping.
Basically what it means. All right, Jesse, your turn. There's 3
I think
left.
I'm on 9.
Yeah, but we've gone all the way. There's only 3 numbers left. 14, 15, and 16.
14, 15, 16.
I will take 14 then.
14 is a listener story for me to read from Ooh. Burning Star 17. It says, I lived in Salem's lot. Please excuse my grammatical errors and lack of paragraphs. I'm not so great at that stuff. Anyways, I used to live in a place that I still refer to as Salem's Lot. It was a trailer park in Oklahoma. I won't share the actual name because I'm not sure if I could do that or not. It has since been torn down. I had a friend who was the manager of the trailer park. He hooked my friend and I up with a trailer at the back of the lot. We would spend a lot of time between his trailer and ours. It began before I even knew he was living there. The first time I visited him at that trailer, it had already gotten a little weird. It started with a Ouija board, is my understanding, but I can't verify that claim. I never saw one at their trailer, so I question that detail. Regardless, I've heard the first tale identically from 3 people who were there, and the events that follow lead me to question very little about their claim. I'll change their names for the sake of privacy. We shall alter their names slightly and call them Taylor, James, and Dean. Taylor apparently came bursting into James's, it feels weird to call my friends by different names, room, in a panic, jumped in front of James's video game he was playing, said something about their coming, then proceeded to start dragging the dresser in front of the window. The next 2 hours were a flurry of trying to calm Taylor down while he kept saying something about demons coming through the windows while everybody else tried to calm him down. The entire time he was trying to barricade the windows and doors. As fast as they could move the stuff back, he was barricading it right back again. I'm not honestly sure what they did to ultimately calm him down. Taylor also backs everything they say, except that he tells the tales with demons coming through the window as a factual part of the occurrence, a claim he holds to this day. Eventually, he is calm and the world moves on. Yes, everyone did wonder if he had a mental breakdown. It was concerning. His mental health was something we discussed. Taylor has never had any other moment like that. He is a sensitive person, but he is not crazy or mentally unstable. He simply isn't. Fast forward to myself being there. I was getting a trailer with two of my friends through Dean. This week it took to get it ready. We stayed at his trailer. There was a lot of small things that happened daily and nightly. They did not discriminate against company. It would happen bold and outright directly in front of them. Almost every visitor had to have the weird things happen here. They just do conversation within the first 15 minutes of visiting. Some things were small and more cliche. Stuff falling off counters. One time, a power drill flew out of a cabinet and landed on my head. Glad the drill bit wasn't face down at the time. I don't know which one put a power drill in a top cabinet, but that was as stupid of whoever chose to do that. I'm not sure if that was weird as much as just annoying and someone's fault, but still typical of the environment. Water faucets would all turn on at once. Again, maybe a water pressure issue. Fairly easily enough explained. The shadows are not so easy to explain. We would have smoke circles in the living room with friends and make a game of trying to figure out a logical explanation. The shadows at night through the windows would spin in circles on the wall. Every night. Not shadows from inside the room. The shadows of the trees outside from the streetlights. They would spin in circles around the room from wall to wall, as in west wall to north wall to east to south. That kind of circle. No change of light source locations. The shadows of trees would be on the same wall with the window the tree could be seen through, with no shadow of the tree where it should logically be on the fall opposite of the window. They would spin for hours. We eventually just got used to it and ignored it. Footsteps would follow you everywhere. Everywhere. Voices could be heard from nowhere pretty regularly. We all played music, so we would jam there often. There were lots of instruments and amps just laying around. Anyone was free to grab whatever and mess around with it. I was playing on my friend's bass one day while everyone was out at the store or somewhere. It was just me and another friend of ours who was only relevant to this one story. He was in a recliner in front of me, rocking it back and forth and just grooving with his eyes closed, and I was looking directly at him when he suddenly, the corner of the room growled like a lion. It was so loud that it drowned out the bass. He flipped the recliner over backwards and hit the floor pretty hard. We both made the same unrepeatable exclamations before leaving the house and refusing to go back in until everyone else got back. It was 2 p.m. in the middle of the summer when this happened. We both agree on the exact location it came from, right by the television, which was off, right by the window, right where Taylor was trying to barricade in the living room while everyone was trying to calm him down. More than one occasion, I woke up after having passed out in the living room by company. Lots of people would crash over if they got too stoned or whatever, claiming that there were people in the house laughing, but everyone was asleep. No matter who it was, they always claimed people were laughing in the house, usually saying it sounded like it was behind them. I never heard that myself. The one I would speak to was far scarier. Yeah, I said speak to it. Yeah. Now I know how that sounds. Yeah, that really happened. The trailer we had in the back of the lot was something far more than the manager trailer, which had been the location of every tale so far. We would call my two roommates at that trailer Rick and Carl. I know these names changes sound like pop culture references, but it's coincidence, as I'm just slightly altering their real names. Carl stayed one night and refused to ever go back in the house. He left his belongings there for the entire lease. Rick would stay for 2 weeks, then leave when his name was found written backwards in tree sap on the inside of the inner pane of a double-paned window that sat 10 feet off the ground within the 10 minutes it took us to go to this corner store a block away. We still don't know what that was about. We think it was a prank if we could fathom any way to get a ladder there, get tree sap, get in between the windows, write the name, get the windows back shut back right because they were hard to open in the first place, then leave with the ladder without anyone in the trailer park that you'd have to go through to get your our trailer seeing you. It's also worth noting that this was still written there when we moved out because we could not figure out how to actually get it accurately to clean it due to its location being very inconvenient. He moved out that day. I stayed. After Rick moved out, it got weird. There was half of the trailer that we never went into because it had weird vibes. It just did. Anywhere from like midnight to 2 a.m, I'm a night owl, it would begin. It was the same every night. First footsteps starting from the shunned half of the trailer, just casually walking down the hall, then through the living room, then the hall on the other side of the trailer. In the second hall, you'd start to hear what sounded like fingernails scratching down the walls. It would stop behind where you were sitting on the opposite side in the bedroom and kind of scratch at that spot for a while.
Stop.
Then the steps would stop by the door of the bedroom. The knob would turn. The door would open and just suddenly stop moving rather than come to a shut as though swinging naturally. The footsteps would walk into the room and kind of wander in the room for a bit. If you listened really, really close, you could hear something say, hello, If you answered back, it would say something else. It was also really quiet, so I was never too sure what it was saying, if those were even words at all. It took me a while to just guess that it was saying hello in the first place, which I'm still not completely sure it was. I just know that if I would say something, there would be some kind of whisper in response. If I told it to knock it off, the footsteps would go back down the hall and go away. It would shut the door behind itself. Every night this happened. It still seems unreal. There are so many tales from that time that I've forgotten or that I wasn't there for, so I'd rather not tell an incorrect version of. However, there were two events that stand out to me as so very unreal, except that I was right there to see it happen. It still feels imaginary to me, but I'm into sleight of hand, deception, and all related arts. Needless to say, I spent hours trying to recreate all these things. I'm just into that. Hence why I stayed in the trailer alone. Anyways, moving along. One time a girl came out of the woods, just wandered out of the woods like it was nothing in the middle of the night. We were throwing a party and she asked if she could join. It's weird to wander out of the woods, but it's worth noting that this was in Oklahoma, so it's not as weird as some people are going to think it is. Still weird, okay. But not so off-putting that we sent her away. There were like 12 guys there, so we figured what harm could she do?
It's a hard image to see a lady just kind of wanders out of the woods. She's like, hey.
This is a horror movie. This is like when the, like, what was that? Jennifer or whatever. This is like the one of those ones where, like, yeah, this is a girl who is, there are 12 guys and a random girl walks out there. She's eating all of you. You're all dead. That's
after he's empowered it by talking to it actively every single day.
Are you kidding me?
It's finally physical.
If this was a real situation and I was with a group of guys and a random girl came out of the woods and she was like, hey, y'all want to party? I would be like, mm-mm. There's dudes in the woods who are going to kill us. Mm-mm. Yeah, I've seen enough to know this is a trap. Like, no way. You would never like, all right, good on her for being the girl's like, screw it. I know how to have fun. No, lady, you're going to kill people. People are going to die. You are a killer. Mm-mm.
There were like 12 guys there, so we figured, what harm could she do? She stuck around.
What harm could she do? You're all going to get eaten.
She was a little weird, but overall, she was okay. A week or two later, we were partying again. It's worth noting that we were not the crazy drunk, the get crazy drunk or do a lot of drugs kind of partiers. We would smoke weed and play music, so we always had our wits about us still. And this girl comes wandering out of the woods again, asked to join again. We figured the first time was fine, so why not? At one point, we are sitting in the master bedroom smoking with everyone. One of those bathrooms trailers have with the jacuzzi tubs. We had to have like 15 people crammed into this bathroom, and I was sitting on a cabinet, and that girl was sitting opposite of me, facing me. She had this white hoodie on, and at one point, I noticed her staring at me weird. I looked at her, and she looked down at the ground. Her hood covered her entire face. When she looked back up, she was 80 years old, and her face was melting off her skull. It's the single strangest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Was your weed laced?
She almost immediately looked back down and then back up with a normal face. I almost thought it was some weird trick of the light until she winked at me. I stood up, yelled some version of what the fuck was that, and told her it's time to go. She played innocent, and I just told her I know what I saw, and she knows what I saw. I know what she is, even if she doesn't. Told her either leave or be drug out. I'm not a violent person. I would never hurt someone just to do it. I would never hit a woman. This was not a woman. Whatever this was got drug out by its collar and told never return as it was thrown out through the doorway. About the time I started questioning if maybe I just did something wrong, here comes Taylor, walking up all quiet in the dark living room where no one else was at the time. He asked, did you see her face melting? Yes, so did I. Thank you for kicking that thing out of my house. Taylor is the only person to this day that says he saw that too. My final event in the trailer park was by far the most intense. We were moving out. Carl was paying us to move his stuff out for him, even though we were literally there in the car as we were moving. He refused to go inside. He didn't care. It was the middle of the afternoon. We tried to bribe him and still couldn't get him to go inside, even if no effort was expected from him. When I asked him why, he said the trailer screamed at him. I said that sounded goofy. Rick said he heard the same thing at one point and didn't want to be inside it either. We went about moving. I lingered behind to finish a few things, and that was the last one to leave the trailer. There was a chair left in a bedroom still, so I sat down in the chair for a moment. And the very second I sat down, the trailer screamed at me. Not like a scream, though. It was like a thousand whispered screams coming from eternity itself. They sounded close. They sounded far away. They sounded like they were inside you, inside the walls, inside your soul, next to you, in front of you, behind you, everywhere. There's no time for thinking in moments like that, I learned. You get up and you go. You go as fast as you can. You never know how fast you are till you actually hit fight or flight mode. The weirdest thing of the entire experience is that as I'm running as fast as I can to the door, it was following me. Not like I could still hear it. More like the screams were their own entity following behind me. I don't even know how to explain it, but I could hear where they were. The moment I crossed the doorframe, it went silent. I never went back in. I've never felt fear again since that moment. Nothing has ever come close to comparing to how incredibly frightening that was. I would rather find out that John Wick is out to get me than to hear that noise ever again, ever for a moment. After the trailer, things become fairly mundane. For a few years, my bar stools would be stacked on top of each other against the locked door from the inside. Eventually, that would stop happening. Anyways, that's the story of when I lived in Salem's Lot.
That's fucking crazy. I, what the fuck would that be? Like a witch?
That was a lot. That was a lot. I feel like it's supposed to be a witch in the story. I feel like it feels like it's a witch or a skinwalker or something. Something from the woods that wants to party.
Sounds like he lived on Skinwalker Ranch.
Very possibly.
The thing is, I forgot that it was a trailer park and it had a Salem's Lot vibe because random girl coming out the woods now. I'm like, yeah, all right. That actually probably happened.
Yeah.
That's probably just a random person coming out the woods. Yeah.
Except she's old. So yeah. She's old for a second and she winks about it. Who knows? Who knows?
Could have been the light. Like she stepped out of the darkness and you're like, whoa, you're much older than I thought you were.
Yeah.
Like a Vegas 40, you know.
Why wink? What is her thought? She's like, I'm going to make him see my face actually as it is and then wink at him afterward. What is the thought process for her there?
I don't know. Just to fuck with him? Maybe she thought she had more power than she did. Hey, we got two doors left. So let's try and make them significant, even though really they're just random.
Okay.
Jesse, what number are you?
I just went.
Oh, that was you, 14?
That was me. It was a huge story, though.
Oh, Mathis.
What 16, number? Then.
16. Here we go. This is for Mathis. Amazing that you waited for this one last.
Why do so few scientists ever look at the evidence for telepathy, so-called? Wait, let me do the end. Why do so few scientists ever look at the evidence for telepathy, so-called? I don't know how to pronounce it. I guess that's how you say that.
Yeah, you're saying it.
Totally, right. Rather. Like,
why do so few scientists ever look at the evidence for telepathy, so-called, right?
Yeah, the so-called throws me off. Anyway, because they think, as a leading biologist, now dead, once said to me, that even if such a thing were true, scientists ought to band together to keep it suppressed and concealed. It would undo the uniformity of nature and all sorts of other things without which scientists cannot carry on their pursuits. Lorraine Warren, graveyard. So
this is her anti-science diatribe, guys. This is why science doesn't matter to Lorraine Warren.
A whole lot of things that don't matter to Lorraine Warren, including her husband fucking a minor in her same house.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it one day. We'll talk about that someday in the near future.
It's a tarot card for what's coming in the future. Okay. And finally, Jesse, door number 15 is yours.
Oh.
I'm opening it, and here's what it says.
On the eighth day of Christmas, the Chilluminati gave to me 8 stones a-glowing.
I swear to Christ, if we go back to the fucking...
Saved to the very end by chance itself, this is truly a powerful Chilluminati Christmas Advent calendar. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week with Santel Claus, so come see him then. And we love you very much. Happy winter.
Happy winter, everybody. Goodbye. Oh, Minnesota time over at patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod.
Merry Christmas. I'm bringing it back. Bye. Someone has to.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Everyone. Merry Chilluminati Christmas.
Pick a side.
I'm choosing to end the episode. Bye.
Anyway, me and my wife were sitting outside indulging on our porch one night, enjoying ourselves. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I stepped back inside, and after a few moments, I hear my wife go, "Holy shit, get out of here." So I quickly dash back outside, and she's looking up at the sky in awe. I look up too, and there's a perfect line of dozen lights traveling across the sky.